7, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Thursday style, always a big thank you to Captain Bobby Abbruscato to join us to set us straight for the weekend. If we get out and enjoy the beautiful weather, get out and do some fishing, and hopefully you can. If not this weekend, next weekend, or coming up, I mean, it's just May, June, it's about perfect. You ready to go again this year?
Yeah, okay. For sure.
Good. Good deal.
You going to provide the drinks?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll then I'll be there.
Yeah, I'll do that as well. Oh, speaking of drinks, this kind of segues into something I want to talk about. The story from the Wall Street Journal starts off from Rachel Bachman, one of their sports writers at WSJ. Said, forget the cliche about lemons and lemonade. Christian Wilkins can make lemonade out of thin air.
Really?
Yeah. See, I just knew him as a tragic figure in his opposition to the Crimson Tide.
Mm-hmm.
She goes on to write, it's true. At a restaurant, the former Clemson defensive lineman starts by ordering a glass of water. Then he asks for 6 lemon slices. He pours in a few sugar packets and voila, free lemonade. Wilkins has one of the biggest personalities in sports, but he boasts one of the smallest budgets. His lemonade trick is just one example of his world-class frugality, an approach he'll take to the NFL after his expected first-round selection in the draft today. Wilkins' radical approach to conserving money has paid off. While many students go into debt during college, he's saved up $15,000. Now, we've got to be fair enough and say, I mean, academic scholarship, you know, he had... his food, not only, you know, with the academic scholarship, you're playing at Clemson, you're playing mm-hmm. D1. You got your school taken care of, your books taken care of, you can eat. And it sounds like down in the article that while other players go to different restaurants and all that to eat, he goes and eats where the football players have the paid food. That's the only place he eats.
Right.
He says he's not going to pay extra money, you know, and then he shows off his lemonade trick while getting interviewed by the Wall Street Journal.
That's awesome. Now, I've done the lemonade trick once. That's just because the friends I was hanging out with, they've been doing that their whole life.
I'd never even thought about it.
Yeah, just the lemon and the sugar. But that seems to be a growing trend in the NFL, and maybe it's finally starting to click for some of these pro athletes that, you might be a millionaire. You might be making over $1 million a year right now, but if your career only will average out to about 5 to 6 years, maybe at the most, if you're one of the best players, then that million, 6 million, 10 million, 15 million isn't going to last your whole life unless you learn to conserve your money properly. And it seems like there's more and more stories of players out there that have figured out how to save their money and invest their money into spend it.
Yeah, and that's the key. And I've lamented this for a long time. I mean, I've pushed this around the Senior Bowl. I loved when they had financial advisors come in to talk to these kids, because time value of money, if they get one of these contracts, number one, like you said, shelf life in the NFL could be very short. But also, if you're starting dealing with millions and millions of bucks, if you invest it very conservatively when you're 20-something years old, by the time you're an old man like me in his 40s, dude, you're beyond set. It says, and more on this, Wilkins, I know you said there's several people doing this, but it said he chose a $300 a month apartment there at Clemson and also spent as little time as possible at his apartment so he didn't have to use the power or water there.
Smart.
He toured the football complex. He said, I could shower there, brush my teeth there, get ready for class. And he didn't have a car. He got around Clemson on a bike or got rides from his teammates. He did say he helped them pay for gas if he was on it.
Mm-hmm.
He did not take a credit card.
Smart.
No credit cards, and they all get the offers in college. Wilkins did not take a credit card. He was on a family cell phone plan until recently. He was on, like, with all his siblings there. He said he was on that family plan until just recently, and he also wore mostly team-issued clothing from the Clemson football program. I think this story, we'll have the headlines today, who gets signed in the draft and how much money they're making and big money. So I want to celebrate these kids as much as well, obviously, because they're athletic phenoms how narrow is the iceberg up top, the people we're talking about to be drafted today? This is from the kids playing park ball to here, it's less than 1%?
Mm-hmm. We could all take even though we're not all making the salaries that he's going to make in the NFL. We could all take a page out of his playbook in this instance and maybe spend, I know I could be a little bit more frugal in situations than I am a lot of the time. And having a baby has certainly changed that for me too. Don't have the extra spending money that I normally would have to go out on dates a couple nights a week. So now we kind of save a little bit more. Not quite to the lemonade, making your own lemonade right at the dinner table one.
But that's a college kid thing.
Yeah,
you know, at that point, it's really, really tight.
If you're wondering what kind of salary Christian Wilkins...
Yeah, give me an idea, because we're telling you right now that he had, you know, how he'd save money through school.
Mm-hmm.
He came out with 15, because it says, by the way, his approach to budgeting was to segment his money into four Bank of America accounts and follow a code for using each one. He stocked the first account for everyday spending, like going out to eat, which he said, that's my only drug in life. But in my mind, I put that as a necessity. You know, he's 6'3", 315. He said, my weakness has always been food. Well, you know what? When you're 6'3", 315, that makes sense. He said, okay, so he puts money into that account. Second account was for rent and big purchases, like airline tickets to go back and see the family.
Mm-hmm.
Third, in which he put roughly half of his monthly check, was for savings and investments. This is a kid. Fourth account was for emergencies. He had an emergency fund to, if something else happened, he'd have that money. So he did that, and yeah, he ended up saving and understood this guy didn't have to, you know, he wasn't paying for school, wasn't paying for the food, doing those things, but he had enough sense as a kid. He stacked away 15 grand while he was a college kid. So now he's going to go in the first round.
Yeah, tonight, and he'll probably sign his contract, I don't know, at some point over the next 2 to 3 months. Sometimes the rookie contracts can be dragged into August before they sign. But I've seen him going anywhere, and we're talking Christian Wilkins here from Clemson. I've seen him going anywhere from maybe the 7th pick down to the 20th pick. So,
but what kind of money is that in that?
Okay, so if he's picked as high as the 7th pick, his total contract will probably be around $22, $23 million. And that would include about a $14 million signing bonus. That's if he's picked up near the 7th pick. If he goes down as far as the 20th pick, looking at maybe a $13 million contract with a $7 million signing bonus.
So if he can keep up these, what he learned, you know, his budgeting, he probably learned that at home going into college. He probably didn't just all of a sudden dream it up. If he can do that with that kind of money, even if his career is only 5 years or 6 years with that initial contract, he's set.
He should be set for a long time, and he's obviously a smart guy.
Yeah.
So he's probably figured out if this career doesn't last forever and give him the lifetime of money that he would need, he's probably got a plan B, I would imagine.
Yeah. Well, listen to this. This is what's cool. He does have a plan B. It says, Wilkins earned an undergraduate degree in communication studies from Clemson in 2.5 years, then finished a master's degree in athletic leadership in December.
Wow.
That month, of course, Wilkins, I don't like this part of the story. Can we cut this part? That month, Wilkins also won the National Football Foundation's Campbell Trophy, and then went on to win. He also was called Academic Heisman, given to the nation's best scholar athlete, okay? Then he went on to play in some football game after.
Yeah, something happened.
During college, Wilkins became certified and worked as a substitute teacher, working in kindergartens and elementary schools for $80 a day.
Wow.
That's how he banked money there, too. Of course, like you said, his pay in the NFL will be just a wee bit higher. So there you go. So there's one of the positive, because there's so many of the negative stories that leave me shaking my head. These kids that, you know, really handed incredible opportunity because they have incredible talent, and then it gets blown. And then here's a guy that I think he's beyond on the right foot going forward.
Well, you've convinced me. I didn't know this much about Christian Wilkins. Knew he was a good football player, but now I'm hoping he makes it to the 19th pick so my Tennessee Titans can grab him.
Well, there you go. And this is it comes from a guy that, and I'm sure I will be asked to sleep outside on the porch with the dogs, from Mrs. Sullivan, you know, because anybody that opposes the Crimson Tide, we have our issues with, but I like this kid.
Yeah.
I like this kid a bunch. So
seems very likable.
So there you go. And maybe, like you said, he and others that are showing this, maybe that's a role modeling, and people can hold on to that wealth.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good deal. Coming right back, take your calls and text, plus Rob Holbert from Lanyap joins us this hour. Our phone number, if you want to keep it handy, jot this down. Put it in your contact list. 343-0106. Hey, 822, FM Talk 106.5, and Mobile Mornings. Segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Trey and 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You know, quite often I'm talking about just the junk and the clutter, getting it out of your home, your office, getting it out of a storage unit. And sometimes, though, it's not just the actual motion of getting the junk gone, but it's the fact that you don't know where to take that junk to. You know, there's certain things you can't throw out in the garbage, and I can't throw out for big trash. And by the way, if you're new to our area, big trash means the bi-monthly collection of the...
Yes.
Yeah, but we call it, around here, we call it big trash.
Yeah, and I got big trash today.
You got big trash? Is your day?
Yep.
I don't have big trash this week. So if you don't know, you can't throw it away there, you've got certain kind of things, whether they're, electronics or different things that cannot be thrown. Trey knows where to throw those things away. That's why you get 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Get them to get all the junk, the stuff that, you can't physically move and the stuff you can't just throw away for big trash. They can handle it. So make that call today. Get that appointment scheduled. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They're online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, and they'll give you an actual appointment time, not a spectrum of time, but appointment time, and they show up. They quote you a price. If you agree on it, they get to work. Check them out. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, 8:23. We'll be talking to Rob Holbert here in just about 10 minutes. Rob with Lanyap wants to talk about with him. Also, we talk a little bit more if you want to talk NFL draft. Also, Brian and Daphne wants to talk about house-made lemonade. Hey, man.
And you guys are killing me. I'm in the restaurant biz, and every single one of those house-made lemonades I get today, I'm sending you guys a tab.
Wait. I'm just pointing out what somebody else was doing. Brian, I'm just passing along the news. Don't get mad at me.
I understand, but you're broadcasting it out now, and it's similar to because what happens is then they go and order, they want five lemons brought out to the table, then before you know we got a whole restaurant getting the free house-made lemonade from 106.5.
It's
similar to, I put the comparison to, I'm all for being frugal in that, but it's like people saying, hey, you know what? I never have to buy sweet and low because I just go to a restaurant.
Yeah, that's stealing it.
Put it all in my purse.
Yeah, that's called stealing.
If you're going out to eat, fork over the $1.50 for a lemonade. Come on.
Well, and I would say this. I think that as soon as they graduate, that's fine. I think it shows me, it's not even specifically making the lemonade, it just shows me this kid, and Dalton's point out a few others that may have seen mistakes of athletes in the past, and these kids are on the right track, and they're going to, if they would just do a little bit right now, they're going to be, even if their career ends in 5 years, these guys are set, man. They're set.
That's true. I'm sending over those tabs.
Okay.
Lemonade.
All right. Yeah, send them attention of Dalton. Okay.
Got it.
All right. Thank you, man.
If you
got
to do it, if you got to make your own lemonade, that's one thing. But I know I don't trust myself to make a better lemonade than wherever I might be.
We've done it. We've done it at the house now. It depends on the year when our Meyer lemon tree, which it looks like it's going to be loaded this year.
Ooh.
When we have a super bumper crop, mm-hmm. we'll do that. And then Mrs. made that limoncello before, which is like a booze.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
But then something like this last year wasn't a good, this last season wasn't good on our Meyer lemons. But I'm looking now, we're loaded. So, we might be making some house lemonade. But I'm going to charge, Brian. I will charge high dollar.
We'll have to ask Rob Holbert if he ever makes his own lemonade when he goes out.
Because you continue to get us in trouble on this, So, but that's that story, of course, that story came up on the Wall Street Journal because today, draft day. And so people start, when do you start getting confirmed, signings and all that?
We'll start finding out. Now, the first overall pick, Kyler Murray, who, of course, quarterback for the Oklahoma Sooners.
Never heard of him.
He's been talked of as the first overall pick for probably the last 2 or 3 months now, but there's lots of misdirection, especially the final day going into the draft. So he might or might not be the first overall pick. We'll probably find out that. We'll for sure know.
Misdirection by what? One team wanting to throw off another team?
Well, yeah. The Arizona Cardinals have the first pick. They just took a quarterback in the first round last year, Josh Rosen. He had a tough first year, but he was on a bad team. And then they went out and got a new coach, Cliff Kingsbury. And Cliff Kingsbury is said to have wanted Kyler Murray to be his quarterback. But Arizona might also want other teams to think that and maybe work a trade so that somebody could trade up for that first overall pick. We'll probably know more about who's going to be the first overall pick in that last hour going into the 6 p.m. NFL draft start, but we will know for sure who the first pick is by about 6:15 when they make it official. But for as far as people we care about here in Alabama, lots of Crimson Tide players expected to be picked over this weekend. Now, tonight's just the first round. Tomorrow night, the second and third round, and I think Saturday they go fourth through the seventh rounds. Alabama has 13 players.
Where's Quinnen going? Is he going?
Quinnen is going probably top five, definitely top 10. I've seen a lot of draft scouts and experts say that he could be the best option to have the best career of all these players in the draft tonight. They like him a lot. I told you earlier my favorite quote comes from Jonah Williams, who's also expected to go in the first round, the offensive tackle for Alabama. He said blocking Quinnen Williams is like blocking a 300-pound bar of soap. And he put on extra weight going into his senior year so he could be a defensive tackle, and he's so quick. He's got like some Mr. Miyagi Taekwondo hands that he uses. So he should be one of the first names off the board tonight within that first hour of it starting. But you got Jonah Williams. You might hear his name tonight. The running back Josh Jacobs, he could go in the first round. Even Irv Smith, the tight end, Mel Kiper has him going in the first round. As far as Auburn, doesn't look like they have any first-round overall picks. Jamel Dean or Darius Slayton will probably be the first guys to go off the board for Auburn. They seem to be maybe a Friday or a Saturday pick in the third or fourth rounds. And then, of course, you have Deshaun Davis from right here in Mobile, the Alabama middle linebacker. We talked to him on Sports Night on Monday night. He said he thinks he's heard his name going around the fourth or fifth rounds. Okay. But we're looking to him for him to go to a really good team, hopefully somewhere he can have a long NFL career and carry Mobile through the NFL.
All right. Very good stuff. So we'll be getting reports from Dalton. Of course, you can check him out on Twitter. We'll be talking incessantly about this today.
Yeah, and I put my draft props picks, because just like the Super Bowl where you can make prop selections, not that I put any money on them or anything.
Right, of course not.
But I did put up there that I don't think Kyler Murray's going to go first overall. I think it's a smokescreen.
Okay. Check it out.
At Dalton Norwig.
All right. Very good on Twitter. And we'll watch this. And, of course, watch my wife, who obsesses on everything Quinnen does on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. She loves Quinnen Williams.
She's pretty sure that she is his mom, I think. I think she's pretty sure. She just doesn't know how it happened, but she's his mom. So, all right. Coming up, Rob Hulbert joins us, Rob, with Lanyap. A couple things to talk about in the new Lanyap, but one of them, this annexation story. Big story in the new Lanyap from Shane Ryan. Council debates annexation as more communities show interest. Now, this goes back to discussion we've had for the last few weeks, and it's got a couple moving parts. Number one, you've already had the city of Mobile talking about this over time, is pulling back, already cutting in half the police jurisdiction that they enforce outside the city limits. Now there's a bill that is in the legislature. I don't know if it's going to pass or not, but it's to further enforce the rights, I guess, of municipalities to not enforce police jurisdictions, the PJs, they call them, right? So if the cities don't do that, of course, you've got to either sink or swim. In other words, you have to, and really more on the fire than the police. Even though they call it the police jurisdiction, it's also for fire. So the police jurisdiction will be, let's say that the municipal police force pulls back, sheriff's departments may fill in there. But there's no countywide fire for those places. So will cities have to get volunteer fire departments, incorporate with other areas in the county? Will they have to make a new municipality, or do they then just concede and get annexed by Mobile? And does Mobile want to annex them? Well, there's a lot to it and politics around it. Imagine that. We'll talk about that with Rob and a whole lot more when we come back right here on Mobile Mornings. All right, 836 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Thursday. Glad to have you here, Sean and Dalton. Dr. Bill came with traffic. It is a Thursday, too, and I want you all to say hello to our buddy, Rob Hulbert, with Lanyap. Hey, man.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. New issue of Lanyap out on streets now. Of course, you have the gritty pencil-drawn cover for Mobile and the artsy watercolor for Baldwin County edition, but I'll leave that be
later. The Baldwin does have sand on it, I have to admit. It does. I thought about that when it came out. Sean going to look at this and see the beach over there, you know?
Yeah, it's there, you know, with the Baldwin County edition, if people have not seen that, of Land App, they take the news that they give us in the Mobile County edition, but they just put it in they put it in a pair of topsiders with a watercolor and an outdoor cafe while they're drinking a wine spritzer.
It's a hardcore story about sand replenishment, beach replenishment, you know? It's a big deal. It's not about, you know, daiquiris or being at the beach, you know? It's not fluff.
Right, but it's in a
water. But it does have sand on the cover. It does have a beach on the cover.
Right, yeah. And it lends itself to watercolor more than some kind of pencil drawn graphic novel like the gritty streets of Mobile.
It does. I agree. I have to agree with you. They have been a little, you know. The trend we'll have to find something oily and greasy over in Baldwin to just sort of even things out.
You know, I pick because I love. Now let's.
Just a sewage overflow. We'll try to find another sewage overflow over there sometime soon.
But if you do, please have a watercolor of the sewage overflow. You know, something nice with some pretty trees in the background and a little dappled shade, and then you can have the sewage overflow. Let's talk some gritty streets of Mobile and some gritty dirt roads of Mobile County as we continue to talk annexation. That's a top story up here, and walk us through the discussion here of annexing and the council debates and community showing interest. Dale Leash did a big write-up on this.
Yeah, he did, and it's interesting to look at. He went and talked to a lot of the folks involved with the city, folks who used to be involved with the city, and talked a little bit about annexation. It's interesting to see, we're looking at, we just had Darby Creek come into the city, and what Dale does is sort of explains the different ways that groups can enter the city. There are three basic ways to enter, but also just talks to the city council and kind of lays it out who is interested in annexation, who's not. We've already had CJ Small has already said he's not for annexation. Fred Richardson has indicated he's not, and in this story basically he kind of talks about the elephant in the room and says that, you know, he's concerned about the racial makeup of the city, especially with the 2021 municipal elections coming up. And, basically he said, he's worried that they're going to try to dilute the power of the black vote in Mobile. And I think it is the elephant in the living room. It's something everybody sort of dances around in this thing, but, why are Fred, why are CJ, why are they so out of the box saying, hey, we don't really want this annexation? And, Richardson sort of lays it out there.
Yeah, this is something that has bubbled back up because it's not new. This has been discussed in the past in prior administrations. You know, I will kind of shake my head and lament that color of people's skin seems to be equated with how they vote, but, there's some things that show that to be true. But it is bothersome that this would... You would maybe make or not make the right decision for a municipality based on the politics of the next election. I mean, I'm not naive and don't think that happens, but it's frustrating. You should be making a decision based on what's good for the municipality, right? Not good for election.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look back when at the past annexations, Mobile Terrace, for instance, which was predominantly black in terms of the people who came in, city council, which was predominantly white, did allow that vote, and so I think the history of it kind of, back then Fred was all for annexation. As he says in this, he's kind of looking for somebody out there. He says, I want to figure out who's stirring this up. And, is anyone in the city government system basically saying this is being stirred up as something? I think the basic with stirring it up is exactly what you were talking about coming into it, is reduction of fire in the fire coverage out in the county, because the city basically is only required to cover about as much as they're spending out there. So they only are required to cover an area that is about as much as they're spending. So they were able to draw that area back some. The police jurisdiction is something that's on the table. It could be drawn back, especially if that law changes. It could change, and you get a lot of different coverage, and that's as a result of that, people are saying, hey, we kind of like to be in the city. And I know there are a number of communities out there that are looking at joining the city, and it would make some difference in the electorate, I guess, but, you know, you'd have to have a pretty big number to really switch it tremendously.
Yeah, you know, and I don't look at it not motivated really on future politics as much as I am things you and I have talked about before. And this sounds silly too, but I mean, I know that the city's been passed over for this store or this kind of entertainment venue or something like that because we're not over a certain population, right? We're not this or that. And you're like, well, but if you take in the metro area, and then people say, well, they didn't take in the metro area. They just did the city limits and Mobile, you know, city limits. We're not going to get that, or we're not going to be eligible for this grant or this other thing.
Well, you know, Dale talked to both former council president Richard Copeland and former mayor Sam Jones, and both of them are in favor of annexation. Both of them made the same point that the city doesn't want to get boxed in. The city, it's not healthy for the city to be boxed in. And, you know, that's some of the council people say, well, we want to grow up. We don't want to grow out. But they don't really have an explanation for how that's going to occur, per se. And they also don't really discuss what happens to the city if those areas outside, you know, to the west do incorporate eventually, and Mobile has no options in that regard.
Yeah, anyway. I mean, Mobile's hedged in on the north. You know, I mean,
hedged in on the north, hedged in on the east, hedged in on the south. I mean, there's only one real way to go, and so it doesn't really make a lot of sense, in my opinion. I mean, when you look at any cities around the country that have been boxed in, it makes it tough for them.
Okay, let's talk about the fact that, you know, the grow up thing. That'd be great. Listen, if we had, you know, way more big skyscrapers full of people, you know, let's talk about reality. And is it right or wrong? This is one of those, I don't know, if the city looks at things almost like a private business when it makes a decision for a neighborhood to come in or out. And this is something that leads to a lot of gnashing of teeth, and I get zingy emails sent to me about it. But is it wrong of a city to make a decision who to annex in, who not to annex in, based on a ledger sheet of tax revenue into the city versus cost for the city? Is that a bad thing? How dare
I don't think so. Huh? I think the city has to look at it and say, is this something affordable to do? You know, they have to be, you know, fiscally responsible when they do it. But when you look at this by and large, and I think that also people who are saying, you know, people on the council say, I'm not going to support this, and then don't really have the facts yet. I think that also really telling, you know, that really what they need to do is find out what the bottom line is going to be before they decide, I'm not going to support this or I am going to support it. You know, it is, yeah, if you just say, hey, we're going to bring in this area and it's going to be very detrimental from a tax standpoint, from a revenue standpoint, we're going to lose a lot of money doing this. That's something you have to really think about.
Right. Should they say yes just because, you know, that's always the question I've had. Should you say yes and bring it in because it's right and it's what people want? Or is it incumbent upon a municipality, the government of municipality, to make a decision based on the good of the municipality as it sits before annexing?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a number of things that go into it. You look at, what if you annex an area that has the potential to for growth? And, you know, 10 years from now, that area has a shopping center and it has these other things it didn't have now. You know, okay, maybe right now it's a break-even program, but 10 years from now, it's something that really is bringing in a lot of revenue. So
that's interesting. I mean, is that, you know, kind of the way a developer would, right? Somebody who would see, oh, I think the city's going to grow this way or it's going to grow that way, and they're, you know, acquiring parcels of land to be able to put a whatever in down the road to make a lick, that the city would, in a way, annex that same way based on a projection or some theory that they have of growth and more revenue from retail.
I mean, look at Sims. I mean, look at Sims 10 years ago. Look at it now. Mm-hmm. It is... You know, if you were looking from a tax revenue standpoint, it just blew up. You know, I'm not saying it was ever on the map to be annexed, but, you know, if that area were annexed right now, you would have a much larger tax base from that area than when you brought it in. But, and that could happen. There's still a lot of area out west that has potential for growth. I know most of these are neighborhoods, but, you know, there's opportunities as you do this to bring in more more commercial or more areas that could have commercial.
Hey, can you hang on a second during the news break? Okay, we're running the news break. We'll come right back. More with Rob Holbert from Lanyap, a new issue of Lanyap out on streets now. Of course, you'll get a very sandy and watercolored and festive edition for Baldwin County, and you'll get the mean, gritty edition for Mobile County. But that's a fight I have to continue to wage battle by battle, right? Check in with Dr. Bill and News 5 next. Fifty-one FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. I'm just trying to picture how Rob does his research here on his Damn the Torpedoes column in the new Lanyap. We'll get into this meaty issue with Rob Holbert as we continue right here on Mobile Mornings. Yeah, what is the meaty issue you're talking about in the new Lanyap?
Sean, sometimes we have to really tackle the big issues here.
Yes.
And I received an email the other night from rent.com, and they had declared Mobile the number 10 city of small cities for meat lovers.
Okay, all right.
We have
all
an average,
do tell.
Average of one meat establishment per 5,436 residents.
Is that high? I don't have a
low
benchmark.
Look, it's in the top 10. I mean, you know, that's what they say. I mean, you go number one is, you get up there, but I mean, you know, it's a lot. You know, we're 3,000. So Chattanooga, according to them, is number one for small cities.
It's meat.
They have 3,894 people per meat establishment.
Wow.
We're way down on that. We're like 1,500 behind them.
Wow. They're 1,500 people meatier than we are.
Yes, that's what they claim. But I, you know, as if you read the column, I'm breaking down their methodology, and I think it's flawed. I think it's very flawed,
okay.
Heavily flawed.
Yeah, this
you
is.
Know, I wrote to them and asked them what the what Mobile's previous meat ranking had been, but apparently this is the inaugural meat listing, so they had no numbers on where we have come from. I feel like this is something maybe Sandy had set as a goal and we just didn't know about it.
So you're saying that, yeah, as you point out in the Day of the Torpedoes column, that you knew it was the plan was to be, what, the safest and most business-friendly city?
Right, yeah.
But maybe not meatiest. You didn't know we meatiest
city.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. I think it was something he kind of had in his pocket, you know, maybe a re-election thing. You know, it's, by the way, guys, just want you to know we are now the 10th meatiest city in America.
Do you think that should be a goal for Mayor Stimson and his administration to climb the meat sheet, maybe a little higher?
We want to be number one, don't we? I mean, that's the point. That's the point of the whole column is, you know, we want to be number one in this thing. And I feel like they're not counting some of the, you know, they break down their methodology for some of the other ones. Like, yeah, they count all the Wendy's and Burger King's and all these other things. I don't think they're counting our fast food.
You think they're?
I don't think they're counting the Dewdrop.
Yeah, good point. Did you? And does it? Is it just like beef or pork or poultry? What about seafood? Doesn't that count as meat?
I would say so. And I think we're probably getting screwed there too. You know, it's the whole thing is it's very questionable. They claim they have meat experts at rent.com, but I went to the site. I saw no link for the meat department or anything like that. Mostly, they've managed somehow or another in their rankings to squeeze in how much. You know, the average apartment rental for the area is, too.
No. The people at rent.com did that?
Yeah, I don't know what that has to do with meat, but I'm just going to, why argue with them?
I want to meet the person basing where they will move. Yeah, I want to meet the person.
I would move for meat, wouldn't you?
I mean, going to rent.com and saying, yeah, I'd love to move to, somewhere in Louisiana, but they're not on the top 10 small cities.
Do you think that's
meat.
A filter? I mean, you've had a chance to go over their website, Rob. I mean, is that, you know how on sites you can filter by, like, if you're looking for real estate price and location and all that?
It should be a filter, Sean, but there's not. I didn't see one. You're right. It should be, you know, you're looking for. And then, you know, you put in, like, you know, how much
meat.
Cheese they have in the area, how much meat they have in the area.
Filtered by meat. Here's your top 10 results when you filtered for meat.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to move somewhere where you're eating a big hamburger and everybody's looking at you like you're crazy? I mean, no, of course not.
I want to be with my people. my meat.
Yeah,
people.
I want to be with slobs who are eating lots of meat, and that's I think that's important to be able to do that. And it's also kind of one of these chamber of commerce type things to know when you bring your friends around and you're showing them around town, and here's the tunnel. Here we have Mardi Gras that goes down. And by the way, just to let you know, we're one of the top 10 meat loving cities in America.
I'm thinking of slogans right now. I'm working on these are just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Move to Mobile and meet people, but we'd spell it M-E-A-T.
Meet me in Mobile, I think, is the way to shorten that one up, Sean. Just to edit it down. Flip it around a little bit.
That's right. It's always, we'll edit and we'll have a good slug line. I'm picturing on the visual side here, there's copy, but for the print and the copy the art that goes with it, and maybe we could do this in a watercolor. But instead of the seal of the city of Mobile that has, had controversy over time, it could be, remember old folks like you and I can remember David Letterman's Wheel of Meat he would do on his show? So we could also just have the Wheel of Meat in the background, like it'd be Mobile, and then maybe the M fleur-de-lis thing, but in the back, surrounded by like a stock image turkey, Thanksgiving turkey, and a steak, and a hamburger, and like a barbecue sandwich, and some shrimp, and like in a wheel around it.
I like that. I think I like that old, remember the old Winn-Dixie commercials where there's just a big steak out there, and they sear it in, and just get into the stamp of the city of Mobile seared onto that steak.
Fantastic. There's the ongoing campaign. Yeah, you have the brand, like the WD brand, but it's the city of Mobile.
They get the mayor, and he takes a big bite of raw meat right there. Everybody, welcome to Mobile.
Meet me in Mobile.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I don't know how much, how this ranks us on the colonoscopy scale, but we've got to be up there as well, wouldn't you think?
I guess they would come through. I don't know if... why don't you call the people at Rent.com and see if they can next have their next thing that comes out from Rent.com, density of colonoscopies, per citizen. And you could maybe even offer that they could use that as a filter as people look for their next apartment.
How many gastroenterologists are moving to Mobile at this point right now? It's important, and I'm glad that I was able to bring this out for people to know and have some community pride.
And what a thought incubator, really, for the city of Mobile and for the folks at rent.com.
Is this a series of articles? Are you going to keep writing about?
Hopefully not.
Okay.
I hope that this may be just the end of this for me. I think I've said all I need to say about it.
All right. Tell folks this, how they can pick up the new copy of Lanyap.
You can check us out at 1,500 different locations all around Baldwin and Mobile counties. And then go online at lanyapmobile.com. And read all the articles from both sides of the bay, and just check us out there. And there are many ways to also have paper delivered to your home. And just appreciate everybody supporting paper and helping us try to do good journalism and expose this meat thing.
Very good. And suggestions are coming in on the text line for some slug lines for Mobile. Like Jared says, Mobile, we meatballing in Mobile. Meatballing. That's Rob. And we are out of here. Be back in 3 for Midday Mobile. Y'all have a great one.